Tampa Bay and around the globe. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries right here in Clearwater, Florida. It is all about that river of God's anointing and His presence in our lives. That is what it's all about. And we praise God today on this beautiful day in Clearwater that God is moving in our lives and changing us. And I love that intro song. It's all about swimming in the river, Bill, of God's presence and His anointing. Engineer Bill's back with us today.
And I pray to God that the wonderful Lola O'Brien, Irish Hawaiian, is listening. Because we have a serious ant problem down here. We need some bug spray.
Oh, okay. Oh, there you go. All right. Got an ant problem going on in here. Okay, that was his appeal for ant bug spray. All right. So anyway, we're going to have a great time in the Word of God today on this show. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and joining me today will be two of our radio team, Megan Kramer from up in Indiana, from my church I pastored up there, and Nathan Burton, who is our wonderful keyboard minister of music, all of it. He will be joining us in a little while, too. So we're excited to talk to you today about the Word of God. We're going to be in the book of Matthew, and we're going to believe God today for some mighty things in each of our lives. And the first thing is that our faith is going to increase today on this show. Your faith in God, your faith in His Word, and your certainty of who He is and how much He loves you. We're going to talk about all of this. He's got a plan for our lives, and He's got a plan for your life. And we believe, God, that the plan that He has for your life will be brought about in due time. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some events leading up to the nativity, the birth of Jesus. And so it's going to be a great show. And we're going to make it personal for you and bring it right home to where you are in your individual life. We're so glad you've tuned in. What we have this wonderful ability now, in the last couple of years we've had it, to they record our shows as they're happening, and then we get it on our website, and our shows are on there, and we've got a few hundred shows on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. So if you ever miss a show or you want to go back and listen to something, you can over and over again on our website. And that's a real joy and real a privilege to be able to have that available to you and to anybody. It's a good way to acquaint people with the ministry at Beacon of Hope and tell them just to go to our website and listen to a radio show, and they'll get a real good idea what we're all about. What we're about is our slogan, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. And there's a whole lot of hurting lives out there. Most of us have been through a lot of things in our life that have caused problems and trauma and hurt. And the Word of God is there for us to receive comfort and peace and to really teach us how to let go of things in our past. So, you know, that's what it's all about. We are a Word-based ministry. When we say that, what we mean is it's all about what God's Word says about us. That's our final authority. The final authority is God's Word and what He says about a given subject. And I like that old phrase that said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And that's where we're coming from. So it's going to be a good day here on this radio show. And if you have prayer requests, you can write us at prayers@bohmglobal.com. We shortened that. It used to say Beacon of Hope Ministries, but it's a very long, and a lot of people would misspell it for some reason. So here it is. Write it down if you have a pen and a paper. You can send all prayer requests to prayers@bohm, that stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, bohmglobal.com. We are having so many people use the prayer line now. It's amazing. Megan, are you on the line?
No, Nathan.
Nope. Nathan is. All right. Okay, Nathan. Hey, brother, yeah. Did we have church this morning or what?
Oh, my goodness, I'm still reeling.
Oh, my gosh. Me too. And, you know, I tell you, it's just amazing that it's the way God takes over and does His plan, isn't it, Nathan?
Yes, He does. Yes, He does. And I love it.
Oh.
Love it.
Well, our plan is just you know, there as a beginning jumping off part. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, really.
And then he just takes over with songs. And I tell you, you and I both, we just love following the leading of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. That's
and see where we're going. And we went to a really cool place today, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. I think we went in a different direction than you intended, didn't we?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. We always do, don't we? You know, that's just, a jumping off point, just a place where we think we're going. But I so love what the Holy Spirit does. And we just went into that place of really telling God how much we love him and him telling us how much he loves us.
Yes. Wasn't that neat?
Oh, what a blessing.
He sang to us today.
He so did. He so did. And, you know, but again, that's being a willing vessel, as you were on the keyboard in the new song that he gave you today. And the way you just ministered that song to everybody.
Praise God.
Wow. It's amazing.
Praise God.
Wow. So it's all about the word. Go ahead. Talk to me.
I said it ministers to me, too. It was awesome service today. And so many answers to prayer.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm glad you brought that up, Nathan, because we are seeing constantly, daily answers to prayer. And I just gave the prayer address, the email address, prayers@bohmglobal.com. But Carol and Pastor Jim do a great job of getting those requests out. And they're coming from other states, other countries. People, this broadcast is not just on tantalk1340.com, which it is, but it goes out. It's live streamed. So there's people in other countries that can find this broadcast and listen to it. And then, of course, listening to it on our website at a later time. What a joy. What a privilege this is to reach people for God.
Amen.
Amen. Woo.
Amen.
So, you know, we're seeing every week, every day, answers to prayer, praise reports. You know, what would we be? Where would we be without that knowledge that we can just go to God in prayer and know he's going to answer and he's going to hear and he's going to meet our needs, whatever those might be?
Yeah, well, we'd be a beat up people if we didn't.
Exactly. But, yes.
The devil isn't playing around.
Yeah, absolutely, because he is all the time trying to beat us up, isn't he?
He's always trying to trip us up, always trying to do something.
Amen. But you know what? We are more than conquerors, and we're excited about this show today. Let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we're going to get to our first song. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege and this ability to be on the air today with these listeners, either listening now live or later on the website. Lord, we ask a special blessing and anointing on this show. We ask, Lord, that you bring out all the points out that you want brought out. We ask, Lord, that you teach us the concepts and the thoughts that you want us to have. And Lord, increase our faith and remind us of how much you love us and where we are in your special love, that you love us so much that you died. You sent your son who died on the cross for us. So Lord, we thank you for all of that today. And thank you before we ever see what a great show this is going to be today, to your glory and praise. Woo!
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Ah,
well, Nathan, we left the sanctuary in kind of a hurry, you know, everybody was going to lunch, and Connie had handed me the CD for the music, and guess where it is? It's still on the front row of the church.
Yeah.
No, didn't even realize it till I got here, but I combined a couple CDs that I've been playing in the car constantly, so this will be a combination on the music, but I think it's going to be great. And Brother Bill knows what to do in there. Our first song is from Casting Crowns, The Word is Alive.
Looking out from his throne, the Father of light and of men, chose to make himself known and show us the way back to him. Speaking wisdom and truth into the hearts of peasants and kings, he began to unveil the word that would change the course of all things. With eyes wide open, all would see the word is alive. Christ revered, carried on from age to age, speaks truth to us even still. And as the rain falls from heaven, feeds the earth before it returns, Lord, let your word fall on us and bring forth the fruit you deserve. With eyes wide open, let us see. The word is alive, and it cuts like a sword through the darkness, with a message of life to the hopeless and afraid, breathing life into all who believe. The word is alive, and the world and its glories will fade, but its truth, it will not pass away. It remains.
Praise God. The word is alive. And the word has a name, and the word is Jesus, the Son of God. Isn't that a great song? I love those words. Cuts through the darkness, breathing life to all who believe. Megan, are you with us?
Hi, Pastor and Nathan.
Hey, Megan.
Yes.
How are you up in cold Indiana, snow and all that stuff you have?
Yeah, it's cold, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm fired up today.
Are you?
For the Holy Spirit and for the Lord, I am. I'm on fire today.
Woo!
I can feel that. I can feel she's fired up.
All right.
Praise God.
That's a good thing, because we're fired up too.
Well, we are, good. All three. I tell you what, and your little son Andrew, you and Ben's baby Andrew, has been healed this week, correct?
Amen. Mm. Praise God. Yes, he has.
How's he doing?
He's doing so much better. He had an allergic reaction to an antibiotic and broke out in severe hives. And one morning we actually thought that his throat was closing on us, but just started praying over him, and the choking stopped. And we're on day 5 of medicine, and his hives are completely gone because he's
praise
healed
God.
In the name of Jesus.
Praise God. The word's alive.
Brave little man.
Well, give him a hug for us, and we love him. And,
I will.
And we're talking about Joseph today, Megan and Nathan. And Nathan's already had a preview here, Megan, because we talked about Joseph this morning in our service. You know, we always preach about Mary. We preach about Zacharias and Elizabeth, which we did last week. But we don't ever say a whole lot about Joseph. And I really have felt led this week to really emphasize this man and his character and what he did. So let's start with Matthew 1, and then I'm going to have you two jump in here in a minute. Matthew 1, about verse 18. And it says this: the birth of Jesus took place like this. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. Now, in those days, by the way, before we go on with this reading, when they got engaged, they actually signed a formal contract. They were ready to get married, but then they had an engagement period until they consummated the marriage. But they were legally bound to each other. You know, that the deals had been made with the families and all of that. So this had already happened with Mary and with Joseph. And it says here, before they came to the marriage bed, Joseph discovered that she was pregnant, meaning Mary. Now, of course, it says here in parentheses in the Message Bible, and we all know this, that it was by the Holy Spirit, but he didn't know that. So I would assume that somebody told Joseph that Mary was pregnant, and maybe it was accidentally was known, or maybe she began to show, or who knows what happened, but he did not know that this pregnancy was by God. And Joseph, it says in the next line, chagrined but noble, it says in the Message Bible.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, oh, no, what have I got myself into, you know?
All right.
Determined to take care of things quietly so Mary would not be disgraced. What does that say right there, Nathan, about Joseph's character? What does that say right there, just the way he handled this?
Yeah, it shows one thing, that he did love Mary.
Right.
And he did not want her to be disgraced publicly. He did not want her to be made fun of or put down or shunned.
Right. Yeah, he was willing to do the right thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about a powerful love. And in that culture, That was pretty much of a bad thing if you were engaged and came up pregnant and was not the person you were engaged to. And even then, you weren't supposed to be doing that. So, I mean, this was a tough thing that happened to them. So now I'm in verse 20 of Matthew 1. While he was trying to figure a way out, like, what am I going to do about this?
Yes.
He had a dream. Now, we talked about this morning in our service, and we're going to talk about these dreams that Joseph had. But this was the Spirit of God communicating with Joseph in a way that he got his attention. Megan, have you had any thoughts on this about these dreams? Because there are actually four dreams that Joseph had that we're going to talk about today. But I find it very interesting that every single time God wanted to give direction to Joseph, he did it through a dream.
Amen. And, you know, I think, you know, thinking about those dreams is, would it have been, would Joseph have taken it a different way if it would have actually just been some person, you know, standing at the corner and just said, hey, I need to tell you something.
Right.
This was actually an angel of the Lord that appeared in a dream.
Amen.
And so, to me, God meant business. He wanted to get his point across, so he did it in a dream so we could have Joseph's full attention.
I so agree with you, Megan. Full attention. Nathan, what are your thoughts on that? This dream thing, I think, is fascinating.
Well, like you preached this morning, in a dream, Joseph couldn't argue the point.
Right.
He couldn't present his own case about the matter. All he could do was listen.
Right.
And he listened and received the word of God. And also in the dream, the angel quoted scripture.
Yes.
Which Joseph, we believe, was acquainted with the scripture.
Yes, yes.
And so he knew this was from God.
Absolutely. I find that fascinating. And when you go to the page probably before in your Bible of Matthew 1, you find out about all these prophecies that were fulfilled in the life of Jesus, his birth. And one of them was that he would come through, the Messiah would come through the line of Abraham, which he did. That's Matthew 1:1. The family tree of Jesus, you know, Abraham had Isaac and so forth. And that he would come through the line of David. And he did. And Joseph was in that family line. In Matthew chapter 1, you find that Joseph actually came through the line of David's son, Solomon, who the mother of that boy, Solomon, was Bathsheba. And she was actually an adulteress with David. So amazing that instead of condemnation, God decides to bless all of humanity by bringing the Messiah through that very line. Whoa. Megan, what does that say to us about God's love for us and forgiveness? Oh,
well, it's absolutely amazing because, you know, he came from the line that was promised the land of Israel.
Right.
And the savior of all.
Right.
And, I mean, nothing can speak greater multitude than that, the savior of all mankind.
Right.
And that's what Jesus was born to do, and that's why God sent him.
Right. That's exactly right. And to bring him through this line, I mean, to prophesy it, in Genesis chapter 3, it is first prophesied that the Messiah is going to come through the line of Abraham. So clear back at the beginning of the book of Genesis, it says he's coming through the line of Abraham. Then he promises David, when he gets to David, he says, the Messiah is coming through your line, David. Now, of all of the wives of David, Bathsheba was not actually his wife. This was an adultery situation. Yet God brought Jesus through that line of Bathsheba. I find that fascinating. Nathan, talk to me about that. I mean, just what does that say about our God?
Well, it shows his extreme love for us.
Yes.
His extreme love, and also that God took the position to forgive her.
Forgive her. Yes.
He forgave her.
Yes.
And blessed her.
Oh. Think about that. Bathsheba's in the line of Jesus. Yeah.
That's right. What a blessing.
Oh, it's crazy. It's wonderful. It's just, it really is. And through that line, through Solomon, came Joseph, this man we're talking about, who was engaged to marry Mary. Mary also came through the line of David. So we go backwards. Abraham, And then a few generations later, down to David. And then from David, she came through the line of one of his sons named Nathan, by the way, Brother Nathan. That right. was the son that David had, that Mary came through that side of the family. So hers was a little different. She came through the son Nathan, and Joseph came through the son Solomon, but they both came and fulfilled prophecy coming from Abraham and then David and on down. So what does this say about God fulfilling his promises? Megan, talk to me about that.
Well, it's a clear sign that what was prophesied came true.
Amen.
And speaking of the song that you played at the beginning of the show,
yeah.
is that the word is alive.
Right.
And it really is, because, I mean, how many thousands of years before Jesus was born did he prophesy that the Messiah would come from Abraham and David? I mean,
right.
it's amazing. We can look back and see all this history in the Bible, and every bit of it is true.
Exactly. Every bit of it. Which is just so wonderful, so amazing that God fulfills his promises. Lately, I think I've told you guys this, and I think I've said it on the air, but God has been saying to me over and over again, he's not just a promise maker, but he's a promise keeper, okay?
Amen.
And it's one thing to make a promise. And Megan, you know, having a little Andrew, and you've got another baby on the way, and I remember, Nathan, you've got three kids and grandkids, and I have three kids and grandkids, and great grandkids and all of that. And you know, it's one thing when we say to a child, okay, I'm gonna go, I'm gonna take you here, and da da da, and then maybe a circumstance changes and you can't keep that promise, you know, something happens, you can't do it. But you know, God is not a man, he's not like us in that respect. He makes a promise. He says it back in Genesis, the Messiah is coming through the seed of a woman, coming through the line of Abraham. Then a few, couple thousand years later, he says, and it's coming through the line of David, etc. He keeps his promises. Talk to me about that, Nathan. Woo!
Well, seeing as he's God of the universe,
yeah,
he controls all circumstances.
Right.
So there is no circumstance that can come up
right.
that could keep him from keeping his promises.
Amen. Amen.
You know, and like, he's God.
He's God. He's God. That's,
God.
Yeah.
God is not a man that he should lie. He can't lie.
He can't lie. And I love his intentionality, Megan and Nathan. I love the way he intentionally plans when he's going to bring the Messiah. He knew before the foundation of the earth, before he created, he knew when the Messiah was coming. It was perfectly planned, and I can show you that in Matthew 1, verse 17. It says there were 14 generations from Abraham to David, and another 14 from David to the Babylonian exile, and yet another 14 from the Babylonian exile to Christ. You talk about intentional timing.
I'm telling
you.
Yeah, no kidding.
Megan, talk to me about that. That blows me away.
I know, and you know, what an awesome, I mean, just an awesome memory that, you know, it was 14 years each time.
14 generations. 14, yeah, 14 generations.
Yeah. Yeah. Between
which is 40. Up. 40 years is a generation. So 40 times 14 is exactly what it was.
It's just amazing that whole entire time, you know, here he is. He's got all these other things going on. And then it's like, oh, you know, he never forgot that he was getting ready to send his son to this earth. He
right.
never forgot. He never forgets anything.
No. No, we forget, and we forget our promises, don't we?
Yes.
You know, we are people who like, oh, man, I just don't feel like that. I know I said I would do that, but, and we get a little fussy, you know, and sometimes we don't keep our promises, but God is not like that. Nathan, talk to me about that. It's a great point you just made, Megan.
God is God.
Amen.
And when he promises something to us, it's first of all because he loves us.
Yes.
He makes a promise because he loves us. And he's a promise keeper, like you said.
Right.
Not only a promise maker, he's a promise keeper.
Yes.
And he keeps all of his promises, which to me is exciting, because some of the scripture that has prophesied future events, there are still things out in the future from us.
Right.
But my faith is raised every time I see fulfilled promises.
Yes. Doesn't it do that for you?
Oh, I'm telling you, because it lets you know that the promises that we have not seen fulfilled yet will be fulfilled.
Amen. And there's people out there listening right now in Radio Land that have had promises made to you by God. Hang on to those promises.
Promises, because they're
woo! Coming. Don't let go of them. Megan, why do we let go of when God promises us something and he says, here, I'm going to take care of this problem for you. I'm going to work this out, or I'm going to bless you in this way. And we receive that promise. And then we just get so impatient. Maybe that's the word for us.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is we are an impatient nation.
We are.
We get so tired. We get to this point where we're so tired of waiting,
yep,
you know, on this promise that's supposed to come. But it's like, you know what? What if the Lord sent someone to appear to you, even in a dream?
Right.
And made you a promise, and you know full well down in your spirit that that was coming from God above.
Right.
But you don't know when it's coming.
Right.
So you have to hold on to it. You have to have faith.
Right.
The deepest faith you can muster, because if you lose your faith, then where are you going to be when your promise finally comes true, if it's, you know, a week or a month down the road?
Amen.
Where are you going to be? Are you going to miss it?
Right.
I would hope not.
But a lot of people do. Megan, I believe, sitting in this chair here for 7 years here on the air and talking about the Lord every single Sunday and pastoring all these years, I have seen so many people that let go of their confidence in God. They let go of their desire for the Word. They let go of their first love, which is God Almighty Jesus, you know, that love relationship with Jesus. I have seen so many people through the years who just get tired of waiting on their answer, whatever that might be. Nathan, talk to me about this.
Well, you know, God doesn't tell us all the time when something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes he does. But the majority of the time, it always happens in his timing.
Right.
And his timing is always perfect. It's always perfect.
It is,
even
yeah.
So sometimes we feel like, God, why not now?
Right.
Why not now?
Right
not
now.
You know, we're the microwave generation.
We are. Well, look at this in Matthew 1:20. Joseph is trying to figure a way out of this mess. He's engaged to a woman who's pregnant. This is a problem, okay? And so God does one of these suddenly interventions. God is king of interventions. Did you all know that? He's constantly intervening in our circumstances with one of his suddenly moments. And in this case, he uses a dream. And God's angel speaks to Joseph in the dream and gets specific. Joseph, son of David, there he is. He's reminding him, oh, you're in the line. You're in the line here. Don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. You talk about a wild concept.
No kidding.
Think about Mary.
I know. But you know, I think this really bears that point you made a minute ago, Nathan, that I said this morning, that I think God chose dreams with Joseph so he wouldn't have any talking back.
Mm-hmm.
Where he wouldn't have any questioning, like, how can that be? You know, like Zacharias that we talked about last week, who says, well, what? Are you kidding?
Yeah,
Elizabeth's an old woman and I am an old guy, you know, and Elizabeth's no longer cute. Remember, we talked about that last week. But anyway, here, instead of allowing that, he's going, oh, no, I'm just going to tell you the way it's going to be, and I'm going to do it in a dream. Megan, talk to me about this. The way God gets our attention is amazing.
Well, it is, because, you know, if he, like I said, if he would have sent someone just face-to-face while Joseph was awake, Joseph could have, you know, voiced all of his worries, all of his concerns. He may have faltered in his faith. Who knows what he would have said?
Right.
But, you know, being asleep, you like you said, you can't fight back. You can't say anything. You have to accept the things that were given to you when you were experiencing your dream when you were asleep.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, let's see the next line. She will bring a son to birth, and when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus, God saves. Now, he already knew Joseph's heart here, okay? He had been handpicked. He's in the line. He's in Abraham's line. He's in David's line. He came through Bathsheba, through Solomon. He's in the line. God knew Joseph's heart. And he goes, here's what you're going to do. It wasn't should you decide to accept this mission, you know?
Exactly.
It wasn't like that, Nathan, was it? It was not a choice. Hey, if you feel like doing this, Joseph.
No, it wasn't. It was marching orders.
Marching orders. You know, I think sometimes we don't take God's instructions to us seriously enough. And a lot of times we think there's a clause that says, oh, if you feel like it. Or, you know, if you're not too tired. Or if you're not too lazy, or you're not too complacent, or you're not too preoccupied with this or that or that or this. Talk to me, Megan.
And he doesn't also say to you, well, if you can pencil me in your schedule. No. I need you to get a permanent marker and write this on your calendar because you're not erasing it.
And, right.
You know, too often we use dry erase markers that we know in our heart and in our spirit that we're supposed to do something, but we come up with an excuse.
Good point.
So that we can take the eraser and erase it. And I think that's, a lot of us do that. I mean, we're human, we falter, but you know, when we dry erase that thing we were supposed to do, we do feel in our spirit that we have done something wrong.
Yes, we do.
Because you know, we do. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, there will come a time when, no matter where you are, that Holy Spirit conviction will get you.
Woo, yeah.
It will get you.
Well, I think it's interesting that the Holy Spirit just goes ahead and declares, you're going to do this, Joseph. She's going to bring forth a son. You, Joseph, are going to name him Jesus, God Saves, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, the next line, I think, is so important because then the angel goes on to say, this will bring about the prophet's sermon in full term. And I believe Joseph knew enough about the word. He was in that line of David. I believe he knew. And when the angel quoted the word, isn't that cool that the angel, the Holy Spirit speaking here, quotes Isaiah 7:14, and that is a prophecy that was spoken through the mouth and pen of Isaiah 700 or 800 years before Jesus came to this earth. And that prophecy is quoted right here in Matthew 1. Watch for this. A virgin will get pregnant and bear a son, and they will name him Emmanuel. In Hebrew, God is with us. I think it's the word, Nathan, that sealed the deal for Joseph right here. And I'd never seen that until the last couple of days. And God just really began to speak to me about the power of his word. And we started the show with the word is alive, you know, because his word is so powerful and so alive that when he quoted Isaiah 7:14, I think Joseph went, oh, wow.
Yeah, right.
Woo. I think he did one of those Connie woo-hoo things, you know? You know where it just gets down the inside of you and you go, oh, I get it. I get it.
A duh moment.
A duh moment. Yeah. Not a dumb moment. A duh. Duh.
Duh.
Moment. Yeah. Megan, don't you think Joseph just like got it when the Holy Spirit through that angel spoke to him in that dream and requoted the word?
Amen. I mean, how much more clear could it be than quoting a scripture from 700 to 800 years before it's actually going to happen?
Right.
I mean, there is no other, you know, that's stamped, sealed, and ready to go out because there's no other way. I mean, that is the truth and the life right there in speaking at Isaiah 7:14.
Yes. Yeah. And the name is God with us, Emmanuel, you know? God with us, Jesus coming to earth as a child. As a baby born in a manger, God coming and descending into invading our space. You got Nathan and Megan, those three words have just been all over my spirit the last few days. God is so wanting to invade our space. He's so wanting to get it down and speak to our hearts like happened to Joseph in this dream. I mean, God invaded Joseph's space when Joseph was trying to figure out a way out of this engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Nathan.
Well, the farthest thing from his mind was hearing from God.
Right. So he takes a nap.
Thing from his mind. And so, yeah, he took a nap.
Yeah.
And God spoke to him.
Woo!
God invaded his dream.
Isn't that great? Isn't that great? You know what? That gives me hope, Megan, that God can invade the space of other people in our lives.
Amen.
Those that we are frustrated with, perhaps, and we think, golly, they want nothing to do with God. You know, when you turn them over to God, look out, because he's going to do something.
Amen.
You know, he has a way of doing this.
That's right. When we quit worrying and trying to make our own plans, then we fully surrender that person or that issue over to God, then he will lay out the direction you're supposed to go. And that's why he appeared to Joseph so early, is because he didn't want him to have worry, doubt, and fear, because this was a plan laid in stone.
Amen.
So he took charge of the situation just as he can do at any time.
Right.
And he said, Joseph, this is the way it's going to be. And just like you said, he knew his heart.
Yeah.
And he knows our hearts now, every single one of us. And he knows how compassionate and caring that we can be. He knows us better than we know ourselves.
Amen. And he's all the time, like a mother feels about their children, all the time looking at the best in us, you know, and not condemning us. God loves us so very much. And Nathan, didn't that come across this morning in our praise and worship time?
Goodness.
How
That's
much different. God loves us.
Didn't it?
Oh,
my goodness.
Oh, my. It was just overwhelming. It was almost, it was life-changing for me today.
It's like being cuddled in a warm blanket.
It was.
Amen.
And being reminded over and over again that no matter the mistakes we make, the problems that we have, no matter the poor decisions that we sometimes make and then regret, or whatever the case may be, God loves me. Okay?
Amen.
And he loves you, Maggie.
Amen. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what, guys. We had that church service this morning.
Yeah.
We had the same thing. We had the same thing going on.
Woo!
Yes, ma'am. We, this morning, a gentleman came forward and spoke a word from the Holy Spirit that we were to come up across what I call the blue line, like you have at Beacon of Hope.
Yeah.
And we joined hands as a group of believers. And I'm going to tell you what, guys, just like you said, it was like curling up on your daddy's lap.
Ooh, yeah.
And being forgiven of everything that you've ever done.
Praise
God. Laying it all out and surrendering yourself to
Praise
our Heavenly
God.
Father. And I'll tell you what, I've never felt such a washing over of the Holy Spirit than we did. And I'm sure you had the same thing this
morning.
We did. It was just, it was a woo, like Connie.
It was. It was a crazy good time. It was like,
it was.
Wow. And you know what? I think that Joseph was so filled up with God during that dream. Because you look here, and it says, then Joseph woke up and he did exactly what God's angel commanded in the dream. He married Mary. He went right ahead and married her, you know? And, you know, oh, amazing. And he took action. So Megan and Nathan, when we have services like this where God is speaking, we need to so listen to the voice of the Lord and take action based on what God is telling us, don't you think?
Amen.
Mm. Praise God. There is a reason why we're playing this next song, because this was not the song that Connie prepared, because that CD is still on the front row of our sanctuary. Woo! I'm sorry, Connie. He must have. Holy Spirit.
Set us free. Holy Spirit, come. Our souls are thirsty for the joy you bring. So send your glory, make your praise complete. Send down the rain, touch us once.
Praise God. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. Breath of God, we need a touch from you. What do you think about that, Nathan?
He just filled my room here.
Oh, praise God. What about you, Megan?
Being in his presence.
Same here. It's like before I called in on the radio, I was had some praise music on, and I've just been weeping all morning, but just not from sadness, but the presence of the Lord. And
yeah,
it's just like I close my eyes and I start seeing angels coming just around me.
Woo!
As I'm singing. And it's been an awesome day. It's been a day of a heart cleansing. It's been beautiful.
Oh,
I can describe it.
Praise God.
Breath of God, we need a touch from you. I think Joseph was so distraught when he found out Mary was pregnant. He needed a touch from Almighty God.
Amen.
Woo! You know, come on. Mary's pregnant. How am I going to tell my family, you know? What am I going to do? I'm going to have to give her a bill of divorcement and all that kind of stuff. I mean, but look how God intervened. He didn't even let Joseph suffer. He absolutely had that wonderful, radical moment when he spoke to him in a dream and told him exactly what was going on. God wants to fill us with wisdom, and he wants to remind us that he's got a plan. Nathan talked to me about that. Because he had a plan here for Joseph, and he made it known to him. He didn't hide it from him.
Well, don't you think that when the angels spoke these words to Joseph, that there was an air of excitement inside of Joseph? Because he knew the scriptures.
Yes.
But he didn't know it was him.
Right.
He didn't know that he was going to be the father of God's son.
Right. Can you imagine? Like, wow, that's me. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, really? Think about that.
Yeah.
You know? He was excited, but he probably was nervous about the whole thing, too, being a human being.
Right.
You know, I on the way home from eating out, there was a song that came on the radio. It was Joseph's song, "But How Could It Be?"
Wow.
You know, that he could be the one.
Nathan, that's beautiful. That's great.
Oh, it was, you know, just thinking about that. I mean, I could picture Joseph thinking that.
Yes. How could he be the one?
How can I be the one? Am I worthy of this?
Can you imagine the talks that he and Mary must have had prior to the birth of Jesus?
Goodness. Can you imagine?
He went ahead and married her, so now they're living together, and they're like anticipating the birth of Emmanuel, God with us.
Yeah.
Megan, talk to me about that. I mean, I just get excited about thinking. I remember clear back, I won't say how many years ago, but my oldest son just turned 40, so about that give you a hint. But anyway, I can remember clear back anticipating that baby's birth. And Megan, you know what you're about to have. You know, you and Ben know, and I won't announce it over radio. Let that be your secret. But back in that day, you know, when I and Nathan, when you and Kathy had your children, we didn't know the sex of the child. We didn't know what we were about to have, you know. Things were different because Nathan's a little older than me, of course. So, you know, he really didn't know. But not true. But anyway, But think about the excitement. Megan, talk to me, because it's exciting for you and Ben. You're expecting your second child. But it's exciting, you know, isn't it?
It's so exciting because, you know, just thinking about, here's Mary, and then she finds out that she's giving birth to the Messiah.
Woo!
So, you know, here I am, little old me, you know, I'm pregnant, and, you know, I'm carrying another human inside of me, and my stomach's starting to protrude, so I know that I have to be extra cautious about falling and slipping on the ice, whatever. But could you imagine being in Mary's shoes?
Oh.
She's pregnant with the Messiah, the Savior of every man on earth.
Right.
Can you imagine? I mean, that would be nerve-wracking walking around. I mean, and Joseph would be the same way of trying, so afraid of, you know, something's going to happen to her, and so on the ball for protecting her. From everything. And that's what he did by, you know, saving her from I mean, morally being belittled by being pregnant without
being
married.
He was her protector.
Exactly. I mean, it's just amazing of how he stepped up to the role.
Woo.
It's just, I mean, he took on his role like a man. I mean, he protected her. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. And that.
But why?
It's beautiful.
But why, Megan? Because he believed what
Amen.
God's Spirit said to him in a dream.
Amen.
And he didn't challenge it and didn't try to run away from it. He was obedient.
Amen.
And how many people are obedient in this day and age? I think that this, and I'm on my little preacher soapbox. I can feel it coming. But
I feel like
so often we are raising generations of people who are not faithful to God. They are not obedient. They don't really, I don't feel like doing that. Well, get off of that and start doing what God has called you to do. Be obedient.
Yes.
Woo!
Amen.
Talk to me, Nathan.
Yes.
Oh, that just, you know how this goes all through me, that people just don't take what God says to them seriously.
They don't take responsibility for the gifts and callings that God has placed
Amen.
In their lives.
Exactly.
And, you know, and God will call us into account for that.
Absolutely, which a lot of people don't even know that one day there'll be the white throne, great white throne judgment. We will have to account for what we did and what we didn't do, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's much more serious than people realize, but they don't want to hear it. You know, they don't want to realize the awesomeness of being obedient when God's Spirit speaks. And this is what happened. God's Spirit spoke to Joseph in a dream, and he was extremely specific with his instructions. Talk to me, Megan.
Well, you know, I think God is still extremely explicit with instructions with us.
I agree with you.
I think we choose to have blinders on and ignoring because, just like you saying, with people not raising their children the way that they should, you know, you're given a gift when you're given a child, period, no matter whether it's, you know, if you're married or not, it's still a gift from God because he created that child.
That's right.
And it's a job as a parent to step up to the plate, take your orders, and take care of that child and raise that child to respect the Bible and to respect the people that are around him and to teach them about the Lord so that
Amen.
They grow up and grow up in love and grow up in joy and that their parents portray that in their daily lives. That's our job. And it truly disheartens me to see some of the things that I see on a daily basis.
Amen. I agree.
And I can go on. Sorry.
Well, that's all right on. And so with that in mind, Nathan, what kind of a dad do you think Joseph was? Not only to Jesus, but later on we know that he had several sons and a few daughters. He could have had 6 or 7 children, probably. But go on.
I think that he lived his life before God the best he could.
Okay. I agree with you.
He was responsible because he was responsible to God.
Right.
First of all, because God gave him a responsibility of raising his son.
Right.
And, oh, my goodness, what an awesome responsibility.
Absolutely. And we know he was a carpenter, right?
He was a carpenter, yes. Yes, he was. He worked with his hands.
Right.
And I believe that Jesus grew up working with his hands.
Yes.
Like his father.
Right.
You know, he was a carpenter's son, but he also was a carpenter.
And what a metaphor for how God the Father works on us. Turning us into something beautiful. You know, start out just wood. Wood is always symbolic in the Word of God of our humanity, okay? Well, what did a carpenter work with? This is a deeper truth, everyone. Hang in there. A carpenter works with wood, right? And it's symbolic of our humanity. Jesus died on what kind of a tree?
Wood.
A wooden cross, right? Symbolic of humanity, okay? So what kind of a profession did Joseph, the stepfather or the earthly father, I guess, of Jesus have? He was a carpenter. Talk to me about that, Megan. I find this fascinating. Woo!
Well, it is. And, you know, he took pieces of wood, probably, you know, sticks or pieces of lumber, and turned them into something beautiful.
Right.
Like a table or a chair or whatever he did. But that's what, and he used tools.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, here God is using tools on us, which can be daily trials that we go through in our life.
Good point.
To mold us into the individual that we're supposed to be. And we need to be able to make ourselves moldable and not hard like a rock so that we can be molded.
Oh, amen. Nathan, I'm going to pick on you. You know that old Gaither song, Something Beautiful, Something Good?
Yes, I do.
Would you sing it right now?
Something beautiful, something good, all my misfortune he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life.
Woo, Megan, we could have so joined him right then, right? Couldn't we? I was singing it in my head. All of my misfortunes, you use that word. And in the original song, it is all my confusion, he understood. But, you know, I like misfortunes. I like that word that you just came out of you right then, because so often we get bogged down by the bad things that happen in our lives. People have written books, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. You know, I mean, we get so bogged down by those things. And God says, I can make something beautiful out of that piece, that piece of lumber. I can turn it into a table. I can turn it into a beautiful, comfortable chair. I think it is so fitting that Joseph and his son Jesus were carpenters.
Amen.
Woo! Megan, talk to me.
The fact of the matter is, you know, they not only made beautiful things, but they were useful things.
Useful things. Amen. Amen.
And we all have a
purpose. And turn it into something useful.
Yes.
Right.
We all have a purpose. Absolutely. And Joseph had such a purpose. Go ahead, Megan.
He did. And I don't know where I was going, but I'm going another direction now.
Go ahead.
That, you know, too often we let our circumstances mold us as an individual. We let our bad circumstances mold us as individuals.
Right.
When we should, you know, through those bad circumstances, it's so hard to praise the Lord during those circumstances, no matter what they might be. But I'll tell you what, no matter how long they go on or how difficult it may be, God is always there,
amen,
asking the question, do you need me yet?
Right.
Are you ready for me to help you?
Because
it hurts him so bad when you're going through a circumstance and you don't lean on him. You do it all by yourself. And that's why, you know, going back to Joseph, that's why the Lord appeared in a dream, because he had a specific plan. He wasn't going to mess around, and he wanted to get to Joseph before he started making his own plan.
Oh, right on. Right on. So he had a suddenly intervention time.
Hallelujah.
And he invaded his space. It's so interesting you just said that, Megan, because yesterday morning I woke from a deep sleep and I was singing this song in my head, and then I started singing it out loud. I woke my dogs up. He's all I need. He's all I need. My voice is shot now after today. But Jesus is all I need. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. That's where we have to get. And that's where Joseph was. Nathan, Nathan, I so believe that God is trying to speak to hearts out there in Radio Land. God wants you to realize he's all you need for whatever it is you're going through, whatever tough mess you're in.
And he has a good plan for your life.
A good plan. We're going to talk about the good plan in our next hour. Nathan, can you stay on or are you getting off?
I'm going to be getting off.
All right. Okay, do you have any final words for Megan and I here and for our radio audience?
I just praise God. Megan, congratulations on
Thank you, Nathan.
On upcoming baby day. And just the fact that God loves us so much, even from the beginning of time, that he made plans. He made a plan for our salvation and for our reconciliation with him. And even today, for those that are in radio land that are listening that don't really know God or haven't really given their life to him, God's made a plan for you, and he loves you, and he wants to give that love to you and show that love to you. And I believe that many people today are going to experience God's love.
Praise God. I so agree with you.
Thank you.
Woo! You're wonderful, Nathan. We love you.
Love you, Nathan.
And I will
love
see you tomorrow for our Project Christmas Trees.
Yes.
Oh, praise God. To those of you out there who don't know much about the ministry of Beacon of Hope, we're a global ministry. We just celebrated our 12th anniversary. Been around a while, been on this radio station 7 years. Basically, in this time slot, we start at 3 o'clock instead of 4 o'clock now, but Tampa time, but we welcome you to get acquainted with our ministry. It's very, our ministry is very open and affirming, I guess, is the way to say. Is that it, Megan? Everybody's welcome.
That's a very good way to put it. It's very open. Open with open arms.
Open with open arms, and everybody's welcome. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and learn more about us, and also listen to past radio shows. We've got another hour on the air with you right now. And there is station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
He's all I need.
Woo! You found it, Bill.
When I just need someone to talk to.
Oh, that's beautiful. Where'd you find that? That's great.
He's always there to hear my prayer. Each time I call him and all my needs, he will supply my thirsty soul. He'll satisfy. He's the Lord of all, and he's all I need.
I'm a bartender for the Lord, so when I hear you song, I come running.
All I need.
Praise
when
you.
I just need Woo. Someone to talk to.
Praise you, Jesus.
For he's a friend.
Praise God. Thank you for bringing that on, Bill. That was beautiful, Megan.
Oh,
how about you never know what our engineer Bill's going to come up with here. So
that was awesome.
That was awesome. Praise God. We're in our second hour of Living the Good Life on this 10talk1340.com station. And Megan, it was joy to have Nathan on with us today, wasn't it?
Oh, it was.
Yes, what a joy. And it's
what a man of God.
He is a wonderful man of God and so talented on the keyboard. And so praise God. We're talking about Joseph today. We're talking about, this is December 8th, a few weeks, couple weeks before Christmas. And Joseph is such an important figure in all this. I love that discussion we were just having about him being a carpenter and Jesus being a carpenter and how that relates to our lives. Did you want to comment on any of that before we go into this next song?
Well, you know, I think it's just important that we find a way and learn how to make ourselves moldable for the one true carpenter.
Right.
And no matter, you know, how that may be, ask questions, find out how to do it, because we're not none of us are perfect. And right. We all need to be moldable, every single one of us.
Amen. Amen. So we learn to listen to his voice in whatever form that might be. And with Joseph's case, it's four different dreams he had. And we're going to talk about the second dream in just a minute. If you have your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 2. Before you do, let's listen to this Terry McCallum song, Come Holy Spirit, Move in Your People. Mighty God. Woo! Hallelujah. We're glad you joined us today. Let's go to Matthew chapter 2 and about verse 13. And we, in between the end of chapter 1 and the first 12 verses there in Matthew chapter 2 is the visit of the wise men. But we're not going to go there right now. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. And after these scholars or wise men were gone, God's angel showed up again in Joseph's dream. This is the second dream that the angel comes to Joseph, and he says something very specific again. Again, it's God's Holy Spirit speaking specifically. And I love the song we just did, God's Holy Spirit. God, Holy Spirit, move in your people. Draw us to Jesus. Those are specific requests right here, and this is what happened again to Joseph for the second time. The angel comes and says, get up. Take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Stay until further notice. Herod is on the hunt for this child and wants to kill him. And in verse 14 of Matthew 2, Joseph obeyed. He got up, took the child and his mother under cover of darkness. They were out of town and well on their way by daylight. They lived in Egypt until Herod's death. This Egyptian exile fulfilled what Hosea had preached. Again, another fulfilled prophecy. I called my son out of Egypt. Another prophecy fulfilled. He had to go to Egypt and hide out because Herod was wanting to kill the Messiah. He had heard from the wise men that the Messiah had been born, that the star had guided them to his birthplace. And Herod decided that he was not going to have his empire threatened by the Messiah. And he set out to find him and kill him. Interesting, the devil is always trying to kill, steal, and destroy. Is he not, Megan?
Oh, he sure is.
I mean, literally. There are times that things happen that are just like, oh my gosh, only by the grace of God did we get out of that mess. Okay?
Amen.
You know, and just amazing that the devil, John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, the thief comes, that's the devil, to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I came to give you life and to give it abundantly till it overflows, till it just fills your life with the abundance of God's life. Interesting here that Egypt is what happened back in the time of the children of Israel when Joseph was sold into slavery and ended up in Egypt, ended up after a long journey there in the book of Genesis, ended up second in command in Egypt. And there was such a famine, if you remember that Jacob and all of the brothers had to come to Egypt to live, and they were in slavery there in exile for 400 years. So this is a type. What happened in the Old Testament of the children of Israel being in Egypt and coming out of there to the promised land, this same thing of Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, having to go to Egypt for 2 years and then come out of there. Isn't that beautiful how God does those kinds of things, Megan?
Oh, absolutely. It totally just blows your mind. I mean, it really does. It's hard to put words with it and how to describe how much of an impact that he has on every moment of every day.
Oh, absolutely. And his plan, you know, back to that point, his plan is so perfect. He's got it all figured out. He knew, you know, from the beginning of time that the children of Israel would have to spend 400 years in slavery in Egypt. So like him then to have that same type of situation all those thousands of years later in the Son, in Jesus and in his earthly mother and father having to go into exile. Where? Egypt. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Just reminds us of his plan, doesn't it?
Sure does.
And where we have to learn to trust him. And oh, that thing that we were talking about at the top of the hour, trusting him and needing him. I mean, Joseph had to be directed to Egypt and the right place to hide out with baby Jesus and Mary for at least 2 years. So that's a long time to be hiding out. Yeah. But go ahead.
Especially in a place and being in Egypt in a place of uncertainty.
Right. And not knowing how long you're going to have to stay there, how long is Herod going to live, how long is all this going to go on. And that really pertains to our individual lives, Megan, how often we know the promise of God, we know what God said to us, but we get so bogged down in the waiting, don't you think?
Sure we do. I know exactly what you're talking about.
We really, go ahead.
I'm sorry, going through that right now in our own lives here in Indiana.
Right.
The waiting.
Right. Yeah. And wondering what's going to happen, or God, how are you going to pull us out of this situation, whatever the situation is,
That's
you
right.
know, and what are you going to do here, God? And I think there might have been some of that with Joseph and Mary. Don't you wonder? I mean, what was going on here? They are hiding out. They're fugitives in a foreign land, and they're not even in their own around their relatives or anybody, you know, weird. Weird.
Yeah, all they had was each other and God.
Which is interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
It is interesting.
And we know that they were there 2+ years, okay? Now, what verse are we on? 16 of Matthew 2. Herod, when he realized that the scholars had tricked him, flew into a rage. Okay, now, when Herod finds out that the wise men didn't come back and lead him straight to baby Jesus so he could murder him, he commanded the murders of every little boy 2 years old and under who lived in Bethlehem and its surrounding hills. He determined that age from the information he'd gotten from the wise men. And now you see another scripture fulfilled, and it comes from the book of Jeremiah. And it is this: a sound was heard in Ramah, weeping and much lament. Rachel was weeping for her children, and Rachel refusing all solace, her children gone, dead and buried. This is a prophecy hundreds of years before it happened. Rachel is really a name for all of the mothers that of these little boys at that time. Can you imagine this?
No, Pastor, I couldn't.
Mm.
I couldn't imagine the sadness and the depression of having your child ripped
murdered
out of your arms and probably most likely murdered in front of you,
right?
Literally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, horrible.
It's work of the devil, I can tell you that.
Kill, steal, and destroy.
That's right.
Absolutely. Now we are in verse 19. Later, when Herod died, God's angel appeared, how, to Joseph?
In another dream.
In another dream. This is dream number three. This is dream number three. And he appeared to Joseph in Egypt. Now, I mean, how like God? I mean, they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have TV. They couldn't hear on TV that Herod had just died. They had no way of knowing this, okay? And so God appears in a dream to Joseph, and he says, up, take the child and his mother, and return to Israel. I don't think they had any other children at this point, because I think they would have been mentioned possibly. I don't know. But he says, take the child and his mother and return to Israel. All those out to murder the child are dead. Now, and a lot of us, again, God chooses this same method to talk to Joseph. This is dream number three. And now he says, okay, it's safe to go back. Well, do you think possibly, Megan, some of us might have been too full of fear to go back?
Well, sure. Most definitely. Because Satan would fill you with fear so that you couldn't step out into glory.
Do you think God has to deal with us with this problem now? That so often we're tricked and we're paralyzed by fear and we don't step out and obey God. Talk to me about this, Megan, because I think this is a real problem that the children of God face in this day and age.
It sure is. And Pastor, it all has to do with having faith.
Yes, it does.
I mean, and you know, when you're faced with a situation that you don't know what's going to happen, your faith is tested and tried. And, you know, it's just like with Herod. And Satan, you know, sending out those people to murder those children, is that on a daily basis, I guarantee you that people are mocked,
right,
by Satan, of their faith.
Right.
You know, trying to tell them that, you know, oh, well, you know, you need to worry about this, you need to worry about this, and it tests our faith.
It's right.
That's what, you know, and God does have to deal with us every day on that, with that. And it's like, you know, wouldn't it be so simple as for Joseph, the God, to appear in a dream to us to tell us, you know, that this is the way it's going to be. But it's not that simple with us. We have to go through trials to grow in our faith, because that's our test to create and mold us into who we're supposed to be.
Amen.
And mighty children of God is what we're entitled to be.
And so often, Megan, God does tell us and give us specific direction with promises, maybe through a prophetic word, maybe through a sermon, maybe through a passage of scripture that becomes rhema, which means God just brings it alive on the inside of us. We read it and it's like, whoa, that's for me, you know, and we get
right.
The promise, but it's so human nature to not hang on to that. And I mean, Joseph could have said, you know, we're comfortable here in Egypt now. We've made a home here. We're just going to stick around here. But instead it says in verse 21 of Matthew 2, Joseph obeyed. And there we see it again. This man of God obeyed every time God came and spoke to his heart.
Amen.
Woo!
And he was richly blessed for doing that.
Oh, my.
Richly blessed.
Oh, absolutely. And it says here, he got up, took the child and his mother, and re-entered Israel. When he heard, though, that, I don't know how you pronounce this guy's name, Archelaus or something, who was the son of Herod, had succeeded his father, Herod, as king in Judea, he was afraid to go there. So there's his humanness coming in. There's that fear. But I also believe he realized a real threat, and why walk into that if you're not told to go do that? So then Joseph was directed, number four, dream number four, here we are, to go to the hills of Galilee. On arrival, he settled in the village of Nazareth, and this move was a fulfillment, here we go again, of the prophetic words, he shall be called a Nazarene. Whoa, you talk about fulfilling God's perfect will for that little family. Joseph did it through obedience and listening to the voice of God. Megan, talk to me about that.
Well, you know, I have to say that it totally amazes me, and I'm so thankful that Joseph listened.
Amen.
Because if he hadn't, I can't even imagine what it would be like. You don't even know. But he obeyed God.
Amen.
And when we obey God, we are blessed.
Woo.
We are blessed with riches, not money, but we are blessed with riches in heaven.
Absolutely. It's about obedience, and it's about allowing the Spirit of God to so fill us. Let's run over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because this passage has been on my heart. I never got to it this morning in my sermon at Beacon, but the whole chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, written by the Apostle Paul, is talking about allowing yourself to be led by the Spirit of God and keeping your focus. I believe Joseph kept his focus, and I believe he raised his children, especially Jesus, to be all that they could be. Okay, we know that some of Jesus' brothers were a part of the ministry later on. And, you know, it's James, the one that wrote the book of James, was one of Jesus' half-brothers. So, you know, we see what Joseph did through obedience. I like what Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. In the Message Bible, it says, I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did, Jesus crucified. Mm-hmm. And I love that. In the New American Standard, it says this, for I determined, Paul says, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh my, talk about that, Megan.
Well, how much more plain can he get? I mean, you know, God sent his only son.
Amen.
He sent himself, he sent who he is to earth.
Yes.
And let him live among us, and let him experience being a human, and let him show people that, you know, physically with their eyes, what God is about.
Right.
And it's in the Bible, and we need to live this on a daily basis, Pastor, because, there is nothing more real than what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross.
But you got to believe it. You got to believe
exactly
it.
Exactly right. And it is true, because, you know, if he hadn't have died on the cross, this world would be an absolute mess. I can't even imagine what it would be like.
Yes.
But God gave us the option, Pastor, to be forgiven for our stupidity.
Right.
That's just the plain and simple.
Right.
Sin is stupidity.
Right.
And, you know, if you know the Lord and you know Jesus, you know that sinning is just plain old just dumb.
Yeah.
And you know that you shouldn't do it. But we know that if we do make a mistake, because we're human, we're forgiven.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's just that plain and simple. We're forgiven for being human.
Well, I love 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've got to learn to put the voice of God, the voice of truth, which is the word of God. We've got to learn to put that as a priority in our lives and so make that a part of us. Bill, I want to flip the last two songs. Let's go to the one on the other CD, The Voice of Truth, which I think is number, maybe track number 5 on the other CD I gave you, that first CD we were using. You got it?
You mean 341?
Yep. Let's go to 341 and use that song, Voice of Truth, which is, I think, track number 5. No, that's not
it. That's
not it? No. I think you're on the wrong... No, I mean the other track. Not 341, the other CD.
Oh, you mean yep. On the regular CD.
Yep, go back to that one. All and right. Let's go to...
Right here?
That's not it. That's not it. Okay, I want this song specifically. We're sorry, everybody, but bear with us a minute. It's that CD, but I think it's the next track.
Oh, track 6.
Track 6.
That's it.
That's it.
Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat and then under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do. The kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of 1,000 warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
God, I love that song. Woo! That was a perfect song for right there. And that was on the track that we were going to play today, Megan. I
yes,
love
it was.
That song.
Amen.
Woo! The voice of truth. Ah, what does that do for you? And don't you think Joseph heard the voice of truth in those dreams? And don't you think that Paul is saying we got to hear the voice of truth?
Amen. You know, you can't ignore the voice of truth because
we all know right from wrong. Mm-hmm. We're born to know the right from to know
exactly.
right from wrong.
Yes.
And you know, I am just so thankful that God created me, and that I know that I can lean on Him.
Amen.
When I'm weak, I know that He will carry me.
Woo. Oh, praise God. Isn't that great? The voice of truth. Of all the voices calling out to me, it's the voice of truth. This has been going over and over in my spirit the last couple of days, Megan. We have got to be more aware of the voice of God. We have got to be. I want to look at verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 2, and then we're going to John 10. Paul says this, the message came through anyway. God's spirit and God's power did it, which made it clear that your life of faith is a response to God's power, not to some fancy mental or emotional footwork by me or anyone else. And I love this. God's wisdom is something mysterious that goes deep into the inner part of His purposes. We have got to get our lives in line with God's purpose and plan for our individual lives. And just like Joseph found out the plan, he got on board with the plan, he executed the plan. Talk to me, Megan.
Well, amen. I can speak this in my own personal life, is that my, on earth, my comfort supporters, my parents, are going to be relocating.
Right.
And They're my, you know, they're my strength, they're my parents.
Right.
And, you know, realizing that that comfort is going to be 12 hours away, it's rather scary.
Right.
But I knew, and God was calling me, I knew that I was to be the leader of my, you know, little group of almost four people here in Richmond.
Right.
That I needed to get into a church because I need God in my life.
Right.
Because He is the only person that is going to give me the strength to carry through no matter what I have to go through.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, a couple services ago, I went up for prayer because I needed it, and gave me a prophetic word of being a woman of valor.
Woo!
And
I agree with
that order. Amen. I took that order very seriously, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a fighter, and I'm a fighter for what I believe in, and I believe in the Lord, and I believe in God. And I am going to lead my husband and my two children, you know, in the way of the Lord.
Right.
And I don't know what way that might be yet, but I am having faith in the voice of truth because I know that's where I'm supposed to be.
Right.
And, you know, just like today, all of us were blessed with feeling the love of our Creator and being wrapped in that blanket, as Nathan said. I mean, it's just, you know, He knows what we need when we need it, and we may not even think we need it at that time.
Oh, I know. And isn't it so good when we get in line with what the Spirit of God is doing? That's what Paul is talking about here, and that's what you're talking about when we realize that he's in the midst of our lives. He's not just on the fringe somewhere. He's not just created us and then let us go and just
right.
never has anything to do with us anymore. You know, He cares about the details. And I've got the hiccups, so let's go to John 10. And I'll get over them here in just a minute. And this is where God took me early this morning. Sorry about that. Megan, I'm going to ask you to read it so I can quit hiccuping here.
Okay,
oh,
John
my.
10.
Start John 10, verse 11, and go through 18, but
okay,
feel free
it.
To comment while I get over the hiccups here.
Okay. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd puts the sheep before himself, sacrifices himself if necessary. A hired man is not a real shepherd. The sheep mean nothing to him. He sees a wolf come and runs for it, leaving the sheep to be ravaged and scattered by the wolf. He is not only in it for the money. The sheep don't matter to him.
Okay, who's he talking about there?
He's talking. Who's the verse talking about?
Yeah, what's Jesus referring to? Who is he talking about?
He's referring to his children, us.
And he's talking about the sheep stealer, who is who?
Satan.
And what does Satan do? What does he try to do and mess up our lives?
Lie, steal, and cheat, Pastor.
Right.
Every
he
day.
Does. He does. He does. He tries to like, for instance, with Joseph, he would have tried to say, Joseph, that really wasn't God in a dream, you know, whatever.
Right, right. Yeah, he would have done whatever he could to try to divert Joseph's attention.
Right.
To get away from the prophecy of God. I mean,
right.
And like, just like the scripture says, he's not in it for the money. There's no riches involved.
Right.
That's just, he is just out to destroy the people and the children of God.
Right.
That's what he does every single day.
And we have to learn how to fight that. Just like I'm fighting the hiccups right now. We have to learn to fight that and take authority over the tricks and schemes of the devil. You know, just like Herod going out and trying to kill baby Jesus. Oh, boy, I'm sorry. This is getting worse. But I declare right now it's getting better.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. What does he call himself here? This is one of
the Good Shepherd.
The Good Shepherd. Why the Good Shepherd, Megan?
Because he is the purest being that there ever could be. He is the ultimate father. I mean, he is the perfect father. He loves us no matter what we do. He loves us with our faults. He loves us with our, you know, the sins that we've committed. He still loves us no matter what we choose to do. And that's the thing that people have to learn, is that he loves you beyond measure. You can't even put a word with it, Pastor, because he created you in his image, and he wants you. He wants our hearts.
Oh,
he
amen.
He wants us in heaven. He doesn't want us here suffering.
Right.
In fact, I know he hates to see us suffer on a
right.
daily basis.
Right.
But we have to know that even though that we're going through a hard time, that our ultimate Papa still loves us.
Woo! Oh, amen. I love verse 14. Read that. I am the good shepherd. Go on and read that and comment on that.
Okay. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and my own sheep know me. In the same way, the Father knows me, and I know the Father. The way I take that is, you know, like I said, he knows our hearts.
Amen.
We know his. I mean, if we know anything about God, we know how pure his love is.
Amen.
And how forgiving he is to
Woo.
Us. And it says, I put the sheep before myself, sacrificing myself if necessary. And the way I look at that, Pastor, is he sacrificed his only son
right.
for us.
Right.
What bigger, better thing could he have ever done to prove to us that he gave up his son for us?
Woo.
I mean,
amen.
What human on earth would do that today?
Right.
I don't think too many would, to be truthfully
right.
honest with you.
Yeah.
It says, you need to know that I have other sheep in addition to those in this pen. I need to gather and bring them too. They'll also recognize my voice.
Okay, stop right there a minute. Go on. Comment on that right there.
I think that, you know, there are other sheep outside the pen.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's our job, my job, to find other sheep.
Amen.
And those other sheep can be my husband and my children.
Right.
And I want them in the pen with me.
Exactly.
So I'm going to pray over myself that I am given the love and compassion and forgiveness that God has for me, that can portray through my children.
Amen.
So that those are sheep that are going to be included in the pen. Or your friends.
Right.
Your teammates at church. It doesn't
right.
matter who. Every person created is a sheep in God's eyes. That's his sheep.
Amen.
Every single one of us.
And that's why the ministry at Beacon, you know, we don't care what color you are. We don't care where you've been, what you've done. All of that, because that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? For whosoever
Amen.
Believes in him, the criteria is believing in him in order to get to heaven. And I'll tell you, Megan, there are so many people out there who aren't really sure there's a heaven, not really sure there's a God who loves them and cares about them. They have no concept about the Good Shepherd. This is what we've got to minister this concept that God is the Good Shepherd, that he loves us. That his sheep hear his voice. Joseph heard his voice in a unique way. Four dreams. Sometimes we hear his voice in scripture. Maybe some of our listening audience right now are being reminded that they are God's sheep. They're children of God. And that he loves us so much. Go on, talk about that.
Woo. Well, amen. And you know, just teaching other people in this world can be a simple act of kindness.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, yesterday we were involved in the Christmas parade here in town, and our church collected over 1,300 toys to hand out to kids during our walk through the four blocks that we went through.
Oh, praise God.
Oh, it was amazing. And just to see the looks on these children's faces that they were being given something.
Wow.
And that we were smiling. Just a simple act of kindness shows the love and compassion that
praise
the creator
God.
Of this universe has for every single one of
praise
us.
God. Amen. That's it. It's God's kindness and his goodness. Amen.
Amen. It's that simple.
Yes.
I don't understand or sometimes don't understand why people can't be compassionate or giving, but I understand certain circumstances that, you know, that you've gone through in the past that, you know, that you're letting those things mold who you are. You don't have to do that.
Right.
You can be remolded into a compassionate, loving individual if you will just notice and recognize those simple acts of compassion that come from whoever they may be. You know, you may see it every day, or you may just see it every once in a while, but he is always there spreading his love, and it comes in different ways, and that's why we need to be able to recognize it.
Absolutely. I love what Graham Cook says, and I've written it in my Bible, actually, on the chapter 1 of Matthew. Above it, it says this: experiencing the goodness and kindness of God should be what we do best, and expressing it to others should be what we do best. Expressing
Amen.
God's love, his goodness, his kindness. Instead, the world is full of quote-unquote Christians who only want to talk about sin and anger, and God's going to get you, he's going to send you to hell in a handbasket type concept. When
right.
it's all about expressing and telling people of his goodness. He's the good shepherd. And
Amen.
We hear his voice. We can hear his voice.
Woo.
There's a song we're going to play here about the Holy Spirit that I have worn this CD out in my car the last few weeks. I had never heard this till Connie put it on one of our radio shows a few weeks ago. And we're going to do it right now. And it's very simple chorus that we did at Beacon this morning. And I tell you, all heaven came down. Holy Spirit, fill this room.
Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your hands wherever you are and just begin to worship and magnify him. Holy Spirit, fill this room. Holy Spirit, fill this room. Shekinah glory, sweet perfume. We need your presence. We need you. Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
need your presence, mighty God. Woo, Bill, keep that one ready. We're going to do it again in a little while. Oh, Megan, had you ever heard that?
No. And I mean, it's such simple words.
Isn't it?
But it's mighty words.
Oh, it is. Shekinah glory. That's the glory of God that just fills the place like sweet perfume. I love that, where we just feel his presence. And he's right there, and he's the good shepherd, and he loves us, and he's taking care of us, and he's given us wisdom, and he's given us direction like he did to Joseph so many years ago, where he is Holy Spirit, come and fill this room, come and fill me, every part of my heart. Oh, I love that song. I've been just wearing that thing out in my vehicle for the last few weeks, and I just play it and get just caught up into that place with God. Megan, a place where we just say, God, fill us, sweet perfume. That's who you are. We need your presence. We need you. Woo.
Amen.
We're going to do it again in a few minutes. So anyway, talk to me, Megan, about all of this and how this fits together and what God is trying to say to us as a people of God today in this Christmas season.
I'll tell you what, I was led to Psalm 22, verse 22 through 24, that says, here's the story I'll tell my friends when they come to worship and punctuate it with hallelujah. Shout hallelujah, you God worshipers. Give glory, you sons of Jacob.
Woo!
Adore him, you daughters of Israel. He has never let you down, never looked the other way. When you were being kicked around, he has never wandered off to do his own thing. He has been right there listening.
And, oh, my. That's starting with verse 22 of Psalm 22. That is mighty.
Amen.
Wow. Go ahead, read it one more time. I'm marking it up in my Message Bible. You were reading it out of the Message Bible, weren't you? Psalm 22:22.
Yeah, 22:22-24. I love the Message Bible. It says, here's the story I'll tell my friends when they come to worship and punctuate it with hallelujah. Shout hallelujah, you God worshipers. Give glory, you sons of Jacob. Adore him, you daughters of Israel. He has never let you down, never looked the other way when you were being kicked around. He has never wandered off to do his own thing. He has been right there listening.
I love that. Woo, that's
me
beautiful.
Too.
Wow.
And, you know, I think this Christmas season, I think, you know, people get so caught up with gift giving and spending money and blessing people with gifts. But, you know, this year, the Lord really wants people to know how much he loves them.
Amen.
And, you know, we need to get back to that with Christmas. We need
Amen.
To celebrate our Savior, that, you know, Jesus sent here to save us and cleanse us of all of our sins. And I just pray that whoever hears this broadcast or whoever hears it in the future, that the Holy Spirit envelops you through this broadcast and leads you to hear the voice of God, so that you can find the right path that you are supposed to go down, and that you'll quit wandering aimlessly through this earth without feeling needed or that you have any place to go.
Wow. I so agree with that, which takes me back to these verses you just brought to our attention, and it's probably about verse 23 or 24 of Psalm 22. He has never let you down, never looked the other way. And there might be people out there listening right now, Megan, who feel like God's let them down all the time. And that's because the devil lies to us. He's a liar and father of lies and says, oh, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about that going on in your life. God doesn't care that this happened to you or that happened to you. And Megan, what you're saying is, you are saying right here what this scripture says that David wrote so long ago. He's never let you down. Never looked the other way when you were being kicked around. He has never wandered off and done his own thing. He's been right there listening.
Amen.
Whoa, I love that. Oh, my. And Megan, what do? We've got to encourage people, especially in this season when people get depressed and discouraged and feel alone and nobody's there for them. We've got to remind them of God's great love for them. And God loved Joseph and his predicament he was in to such an extent that he spoke to him in four different dreams and gave him specific direction for his life and for the life of Mary and that baby. Talk to me about that specific direction, Megan, as we wind this down today.
The other thing, too, is that
he knew Joseph's heart, and he trusted him to take care, and trusted Mary to take care of his son.
Right.
And he trusts us explicitly.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that's what people have to learn to realize, and I think that's what we have to learn to teach through ourselves, is that no matter, you know, what kind of circumstance you're going through, that there is someone that you can trust explicitly, and that is God. Because, you know, I've heard all too much that sometimes people think of God as they think of, you know, their own earthly father. And I'm sure, you know, some people have had fathers that weren't so good, and they need to throw that out the window, Pastor, because, as I said earlier, he's the ultimate papa.
And, amen.
You know, no matter what you've done, like I've said a million times, he will always have his arms outstretched to you, waiting for you to run into his arms to be saved.
Amen.
And there's no greater thing on this earth than to realize what we have bestowed to us in heaven.
Amen. Amen. So for those of you out there in our listening audience, whether live today or later on our website, let's pray for you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, and we stand in the gap and intercede for these listeners. Lord, you know who they are. You know where they are. You know their names. In fact, your word says that our names are written on the palm of your hand, that you know us all. We just read John 10, that my sheep hear my voice. Lord, we believe right now that there are listeners who are going to be more aware of your voice to them from this moment on in their lives, that they are going to, that their listening ear, their spiritual listening ear is going to come alive, be quickened today, and they will realize that you're trying to get their attention, that you're trying to invade their space, that you're trying to talk to them and help them and guide them through the difficult things that they are facing. Lord, we know there's so many of us that are going through difficult times, whether it be financial, whether it be a physical handicap or a health issue or a disease or a bad prognosis from a disease or a relationship pain or hurt or whatever it might be. Lord, there are some out there who have just lost a loved one. Lord, you know who these people are, and you know the hurt and the pain and the anguish that they're going through. Lord, we ask you right now, Good Shepherd, reach down and touch their hearts. Reach down and remind them of your great love for them. Remind them that you are the Good Shepherd and that your sheep do hear your voice. Lord, we ask you to speak to their hearts today and remind them of your comfort, your peace, and your great love for them. Lord, we ask that you touch these hearts that are listening, that they reach out to you with a new awareness of your great love for them, and that from this moment on in their lives, they trust you more, they lean on you more, they need you more, and that you definitely make something beautiful out of everything that they've gone through. Something beautiful, something good. All my misfortunes and confusion, you understood. All I had to offer you was brokenness and strife, but you made something beautiful of my life. So, Lord, we claim that right now for our listeners in the name of Jesus. Touch them, heal their bodies, heal their emotions, take their pain away, their physical pain and their emotional pain today, and help them to realize how very much you love them. In the name of Jesus, amen. And amen. Wow. Boy, I don't know of any 2 hours in my life that go as quickly as the radio show every week.
That is for sure.
Oh, my. Megan, sum it up for us before we listen to that song one more time as we get out of here in a little while.
Well, I tell you what, I just pray for a new season in the lives of the people that hear this broadcast, that you drop your pride and your prejudices, and that you become a moldable piece of wood that the Lord wants you to be, so that he can whittle away all of the splinters and the nasty, ugly pieces that are hanging on you, that you're willing to let them go. and that you are surrounded by people that show the love and compassion of the Lord. Reach out and seek it and claim it for yourself, because you deserve it.
Ooh.
Everyone deserves to be loved, and the one person that loves you unconditionally is your Creator.
Wow. Amen and amen and amen. You couldn't speak that any more true.
Woo! Woo.
Well, Megan, praise you're God. A joy, and so is Nathan, and I just thank God for our radio team. It's several people.
Amen.
That take turns coming on with me on a weekly basis here on the live show every Sunday on this radio station, 1340 AM, and some other stations around. And then, of course, on the internet at the same time, live streamed, tantalk1340.com. I thank God for you, Megan, for your mom, Betty. She'll be on next week with Connie. And it's always a joy to have you guys sharing the Word of God with us. And if you out there in Radio Land need somebody to talk to, you can call me. You can actually, the church cell phone number is 813-417-3377. I'll give you that again, 813-417-3377. Not always able to answer it. You leave a message, I'll get back to you. But it's quicker to email me, pastor@bohmglobal.com. That's the quickest way to reach me. Pastor@bohmglobal.com. My associate pastor, Pastor Jim, is pastorjim@bohmglobal.com. We want to hear from you. If you don't have a place where you are putting your tithes and your offerings, and this ministry is teaching the word to you on a weekly basis, give. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. There's a place for PayPal for donations. It is totally safe and secure. And give a donation, give of your finances, plant your finances in good soil where the Word of God is being taught. We don't talk a lot about money, but we invite you to be blessed, and you will be blessed if you plant towards this radio broadcast week after week. God will bless you financially in other areas of your life. So we invite you to seek that out on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Prayer Ministries, Megan, if they have a prayer request, God answers prayer, does he not?
Oh, he sure does.
Look at your own
Amen.
Life this week.
That's right. Praise God.
So prayers@bohmglobal.com. It's easy for them to join the prayer team too, right?
It sure is. Just send a little email that says, include me in the prayer list and the prayer chain.
Right.
And you'll be getting them.
Right. So we welcome you. So, you know, at this time of year in particular, why not ask the Holy Spirit to come and invade your space? Why not ask him to come and fill you to overflowing? Shekinah glory, woo, sweet perfume of his presence. We're going to do that song again as we go out. And we just believe God for a miracle in your life. This has been Pastor Marcia, Megan, and Nathan bringing the Word of God to you this day from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Tune in again next Sunday at 3 o'clock. Let's listen to this song again, and you will be so blessed. Woo, Holy Spirit, fill this room.
Come on, lift up your hands wherever you are and just begin to worship and magnify him. Holy Spirit, fill this room. Holy Spirit, fill this room. Shekinah glory, sweet perfume. Shekinah glory, sweet.